This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
According to Matthew. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, the word of the life. Oh, be seated, please. So good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for your patience. I'm a little late today. I do apologize. I do thank you for your patience. Isn't it wonderful to be a part of the family of God? It's so good to be around people who love and care about you. This congregation is full of people who care about and love one another. As I look out into our congregation, I would have to say that we are a healthy, happy family. Well, we're a family for sure. Speaking of church, here are the top 9 things you'll probably never hear in church. Number 9, hey, it's my turn to sit on the front pew. Number 8, preacher, I was so enthralled I never noticed your sermon went over by 25 minutes. Number 7, personally I find witnessing much more enjoyable than golf. Number 6, I've decided to give our church the $500 a month I used to send to TV evangelists. Number 5, I volunteered to be the permanent teacher for the teenage Sunday school class. Number 4, I love it when we sing hymns I've never heard before. Number 3, since we're all here, let's start the service early. And number two, preacher, we'd like to send you to this Bible seminar in the Bahamas. And the number one thing you'll probably never hear in church, could you please preach more about money? As I said, it is great to be part of such a healthy, happy church. I mean, it's great to be part of a church. You know, in our personal lives, I think we all want to have a happy, healthy home life also. What makes a good home, a home life, what makes a home a good home? Love, patience, peace, kindness, trust, acceptance, affection, caring, protection. All these things should be a part of a healthy family, and they should be part of a healthy church as well. What is missing from this partial list? Well, for your parents out there, what happens in your home when one of the children does something that is not acceptable? What if they are going down a bad road, a bad path? What would you do? In the church, when one of us starts to stray down the wrong path, what should we do? The title of today's message is Trouble in the Family. It's based on Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 20, along with a few other supporting scriptures. Now, this one is one of those tough messages to preach because of the preconceptions that people have with the subject. What do we do as a church when we see one of our brothers or sisters in Christ heading down the wrong road? Do we just ignore the situation? Do we drop the holy hammer of justice on them? These things happen all too often in churches today. Within the church family, we will face a situation where we see a brother or a sister doing things that God tells us not to. The way we handle these situations says a lot about the church we are a part of. Ignore the situation? Well, then we are seen as too permissive. Drop the hammer on people? We are seen as being judgmental. What should we do when this unfortunate situation occurs? Today we're going to see what Jesus tells us to do when these sometimes heartbreaking situations happen within the church family. We'll look at the person who needs discipline, the correct procedure for discipline, and where the power comes from that allows us to discipline, and the true purpose for exercising discipline. Get ready. Church discipline is something we do not see much of today. It is so easy to hop from one church to another. This is a message we need to hear today, so if and when the situation occurs, we know how to properly handle it in a way that glorifies God and actually helps the person who is struggling. Today, let us see how we should react when there is trouble in the family. The person who needs discipline. Now, who is the one who needs to be confronted? Look at verse 15. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault with the two of you alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. It tells us if another member of church sins, in some translations it says your brother or sister sins, understand that all who are Christians are your brother or sister, and they're all God's children. Because of the context and nature of this passage, we are specifically speaking of brothers in Christ who belong to the same congregation. But we have a duty to help any brother in Christ. I had a good friend of mine who confronted me with my choices in music at the time. We did not go to the same church, but nevertheless, we were still brothers, and my brother James helped me. We are not called to discipline those who are outside of Christ. We are called to help those who are in Christ. We cannot hold a person who does not belong to Jesus to the same standards we hold each other to. I hope we hold each other to a higher standard than we do our lost friends and family. The lost need Christ. The saved need discipline. I am not speaking of spanking someone. Discipline means to disciple or teach. It does not mean to punish. When parents discipline children, punishment may be a part of it, but the goal should be to teach what is right and wrong and what is good and bad for them. Why is this important? What I do is none of your business, is it? What I do is your business if you're a Christian, and here's why. John MacArthur Jr., in his commentary on Matthew, states, "The church cannot preach and teach a message. It does not live and have any integrity before God if it doesn't, or even before the world. Yet in many churches where there is no tolerance for sin in principle, there is much tolerance for it in practice. And when preaching becomes separated from living, it becomes separated both from integrity and from spiritual and moral effectiveness. It promotes hypocrisy instead of holiness. Divorcing biblical teaching from the daily living is a compromise of the worst sort. It corrupts the church, grieves the Lord, and dishonors his word and his name. Now Jesus says, when our brother sins, we are to do something that will help them. Now, how many of us would just sit back and let our own children or family members self-destruct? If we love them, we will try to help them. Lovingly confronting a brother shows we love and care for them. If we see a brother sin, what should we do according to Jesus? Go to him in private. If we see a brother sin in love, we are to go to him in person in private. We are to go and show him his fault. We are to shed the light on what has been done. Our goal is to present what has been done in such a manner that he cannot escape recognizing the act for what it was. Now, often, as Christians, we will do things we shouldn't because we do not know. It is a maturity issue. If that is the case, talking to a person one-on-one will more times than not be all that is needed. From Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. When Peter was intimidated by those Judaizers, and those who wanted to make Gentiles become Jews before they became Christians, in Antioch and began to separate himself from Gentile believers, Paul opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Galatians chapter 2, verse 11, Peter admitted his sin and repented. And years later, he wrote of his beloved brother Paul, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Their deepened friendship no doubt was due in no small measure to Paul's caring enough to rebuke his fellow apostle and turn him back to the purity of the gospel of grace. We are not the sin police. Again,
I remember
that. We are not the sin police. We are there to help our brother. Sometimes we will face resistance. From Romans chapter 16, verse 17, I urge you, brethren, keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. When my friend James confronted me about my music, I got upset at him. He did not waver. He lovingly shared with me, and after a few days, the Holy Spirit convinced me that he was right. I would have thanked him for having the courage and caring enough for me to say so, for him to say something to me. The last thing we want to do if we see a brother stumbling is to make a public issue out of it. You do not need to gossip or share it with anyone except the brother who is in need. Too many parents are afraid to confront their own children today. And look what happens. If we love each other, we will try to help one another. We are not the police, just a community of Christians, a family who loves and cares for each other. But what if the person will not listen to you? What do? Just drop it? Look at verse 16. Take two or more with you. In the Old Testament, you could not be convicted on the word of just one witness. There had to be more than one. Does this mean we have to find more than one person who witnessed what happened? Yes and no. If others saw what happened, we are to take them with us to help convince the one who fell as to what they did. The other meaning is we are to take others with us to help convince the person to change or repent. Often when there are a few other people involved, it helps to keep anything from escalating. Having other people also gives witness to what was and was not said while helping the brother who is in error. Okay. So, what if that does not work? Take it to the church. Verse 17. If the situation is bad enough, there comes a time when the church needs to be involved. The hope is that the church can appeal to the person to repent and get back on the right path. We have a couple of examples in the scriptures where this was done in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Once again, the hope is that with the whole family of God encouraging them to repent, they will. So what if even this does not work? Sever them from the fellowship of the church.
That's absolutely idiotic.
Excuse me?
I think that's just... I'm sorry, I have to say something on that. Like, why would you separate yourself from my...
Gavin, hold on to the round table and your results, okay?
Right.
I'm just gonna shut up. This is directly from the Bible. Sever them from the fellowship of the church. It's verse 17 of what we read today, okay? So just hold on to your thoughts and keep them together and we'll talk about it in the round table. Okay, I know that was going to be a good one. Sever them from the fellowship of the church. Jesus tells us to treat such a person as an outsider. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, Paul says, if anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul tells of a situation in the church where someone had taken up with his father's wife. Paul says that the church was not to associate with this person because they would not repent. From 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9 through 13, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. Not at all meaning the people of this world who are immoral, or the greedy and swindlers, or adulterers. In that case, you would have to leave this world. But now I am writing to you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister, but is sexually immoral or greedy, an adulterer or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such people. What business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from among you. This is a last resort. But it is something that needs to be done in this instance to protect the integrity of the church. Willful sin simply makes God look bad. Just where do we derive the power to confront each other when we ourselves are living in sin? It comes from God. Look at verses 18 through 20. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. Now, here's the same language that Jesus uses with Peter at the Great Confession, using the analogy of Scripture to define what binding and losing means to allow and not allow. We have a mandate from God to let each other what is right and wrong in light of the Scripture. Okay? When we follow God's way of discipline, we have God's blessing on what we do. When we are following God's word, we have a mandate from heaven to correct a brother who is living in sin. Verse 19 of our gospel reading, this passage does not mean we get everything we want. It means that in these judicial matters such as church discipline, when the church acts on God's behalf and in accordance with his word in matters dealing with sin, he acts on their behalf by confirming and empowering their faithful decisions and actions. Agree is from a word which literally means to sound together, and is the term from which we get symphony. If even two of Jesus' followers are in agreement with each other, that a sinning believer has either repented or refused to repent, they can be sure they are also in agreement with the Father who is in heaven. God does not bend to our will. We are to bend to his. What is the purpose of discipline? When all is said and done, why would you want to go through all of this? Why not just let the person do what they want to do? Would you do that to someone you love and care for? The purpose for discipline is found back in verse 15, to win your brother. Our goal is to help the person get back on track. We want them to get back on the right path. If you love someone, would you just sit back and watch their home burn down with them in it because you do not want to get involved? We also want to protect the integrity of the church. If we as Christians do not care how we live or how our brothers and sisters in Christ live, what kind of witness is that to the world? From Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7, it is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If we are going to be Christ-like, then we need to try to be holy in our conduct. From 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. From James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, my brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And in conclusion, how far and how much would you do to bring one of your children or family members back if they decided to go down the wrong path? Why would you do it? Simply, for love. As a body of believers, it is our duty to help each other on the path God laid for us. We are to do it with a spirit of love, as Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. This is one of the reasons we have the church, to encourage each other, to help each other. In order for us to be able to do that, we need to be involved in each other's lives. Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you are also doing. From Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. At Dallas Universal Life Church, we are a family. We are part of the family of God. If you've not formally joined our family at Dallas ULC, we invite you to do so today. Just see me after service to get started. If you join the family, you are officially part of the family, and we'll have a mutual accountability with everyone in it. Join us as we strive to go to heaven together. Amen.
Amen.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
Maybe. Pray at DallasRealC.com. Pray at DallasRealC.com. That's the email address, folks. If you have any requests for prayers, you can send an email us at pray@DallasRealC.com. We've got to take care of that for you. You can remain anonymous or use your name. We pray every day here at Dallas Universal Life Church. You can ask us your prayers if you said during our daily prayers or during our prayers intercession on Sundays. Now, you can go to pray@DallasRealC.com, send us an email there, or you can also go to DallasRealC.com and click on prayer requests, and there's a form that you can fill out. Either way is perfectly acceptable. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, or complaints. If you have one of those, or you're going to need one of these, that's an email address coming up, feedback@DallasRealC.com. Again, compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints, send us an email, or simply go to DallasRealC.com and click on Contact Us. And again, another perfectly acceptable way to let us know a compliment, concern, suggestion, complaint, which we find very, very important. We want your feedback, folks. We really do. Let us hear from you. Okay. Here, you can make a difference. We are an all-volunteer church. None of us here take a salary, including myself. We only survive by our ties from our community and from people out there in YouTube land and Podcastville and in the world who are gracious enough to donate to our cause and help us keep this church open. It's not cheap to keep a church open. Just to let you know, every week something just comes up and you got to be ready for it. I'm horrible at asking for this. This is my worst part of my job that I do, and I'm not good at it, but I try every week. If you believe in this message we're trying to get out there, if you believe in an all-loving, all-inclusive God who is welcoming and approachable, if you believe in the true meaning of Christianity, which we're trying to reinstate into the world, please consider making a donation to Dallas Universal Life Church. We could really use the help. I know it's tough times for everybody right now, and nothing is too small. A penny, a nickel, a dime, we'll take anything. It helps us keep our doors open. It helps pay the electric bill. It helps us buy candles. It helps us buy equipment to make sure that things come out to you out in the world correctly. And we could use your help. Simply go to DallasRealC.com and click on Donate. Now, we are a nonprofit organization, so all of your donations to this church are tax deductible. It's just a little perk you got there to help you out, okay? DallasRealC.com and click on Donate. We could really use your help. All right. You can make a difference. Every week I talk about this, and I always get somebody who comes up and says, Bishop, I love the church. I really do. I love it. I want to be able to donate and tithe and do my thing, but I'm broke. I don't have any money. And I look at us and say, guess what? I'm not broke too, as a lot of us are. And that's the way it is. Your time is also your money, because time is money. And we are, like I said, a church of volunteers. We all volunteer here, and we all chip in. We all make this happen. And without each and every volunteer that we have here, it won't happen. It just wouldn't. We all have a role, and we all rise up to it every Sunday and get it done. So, if you want to volunteer with us, you can go to DallasRealC.com and click on the button for volunteer. There you find a list of the positions we have available for volunteers. If there's something there, if there's not something there you like, simply come on in. I promise you, I have some work for you. I can get something for you to do. There's never enough hours in the day for us to finish everything. Something's always left undone. So please, come in and donate your time to Dallas Universal Life Church. All right, moving on. Did you know we had two podcasts? We did. We have Two podcasts. Two. First one, Your Path to Bishop Mark, that's the one that's been around for a while. That's the one since going on 7 years. It's been sort of sixth season. That is our gospel reading and our sermon and our round table every week. So it's kind of keeping you up to date with the services. If you're sick and you can't come to service, you can watch it there or whatever. We can always go back in time. We have hundreds of videos online from the last 7 years of each and every service. So it's kind of neat to go back and look at some of the older. The sermons are pretty timeless. I mean, they go on forever.
So, the younger days, huh?
Yeah. The Bible goes on forever, and so do the sermons. I mean, they all can fit in, and they can look at the titles. They might be something that jostles you to want to read it. Okay? That's where you do that. To get to that, you just have to go to your favorite search engine and type in Your Path with Bishop Mark. They'll take you right there. Y'all can't sleep on that. No, I'm sorry.
I'm trying to get there.
Your Path with Bishop Mark. Just simply go on the back of your program here. There's a list of some of the rides we had. You can go click on the link. It's an app for your phone, okay? Now, our second one is Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. That's our newest podcast. And I actually call this the TikTok of our podcast because it's... If you have a short attention span, this one's good for you. So, each one's about 2 to 5 minutes long. It's exactly what it says. It's Life Lessons of Vision Mark. Check it out. See if you like it. Simply go to your favorite search provider, type in Life Lessons of Vision Mark. Or, again, you can go and look at the back of your program here, and it's got all the providers that put our podcast out there for you in apps. Let me know what you feel about these. There's at the end of the podcast, there's a place where you can comment on it. You can ask questions. You can talk to us. Please do that. I see people are listening. I see the numbers, and I really could use your feedback. It's hard for me when I can't see your faces to know what's going on. Somebody didn't turn off the
ice maker. I turned it off.
It's on.
We got ice recently.
Okay, it happens. My shirt. My shirt.
What?
Moving on. Okay, so your path, Life Lessons with Bishop Mark, go to your favorite search engine, type in Life Lessons, or check it out on the back. Just go there and go to your favorite app and type in Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. Find us there. Check it out. Let me know what you think, folks. Okay, moving on. Dallas Universal Life Church here again at the Walk to End Alzheimer's here at Dallas City Hall. We're giving away the orange flowers this year, but we're longing for a white flower. That white flower is the one that is the first one that first survivor of Alzheimer's, and we hope for that real soon. We are live at the 2022 Walk to End Alzheimer's here at City Hall in Dallas. As many of you know, I lost my grandmother in 2019 to Alzheimer's. We're live. Yeah, I see it. Here, take a look. Here, shirt. Okay, go live on Facebook. There you go. Okay, there you go. It's okay. So there we go. Thank you.
we all crossed the finish line and then got really, really, really wet. So that's it for this year, from 2018. Walked in all time. We're going to go dry off some.
We lost a couple of our members of our group. They're here somewhere. So I hope they're okay. Because we're going to leave.
We're going to dry off some.
The 2023 Dallas Walk to End Alzheimer's is November 4th, 2023 at Dallas City Hall. To join or donate to Dallas Universal Life Church Crusaders, sponsored by Cool McCool Domain Services, please visit act.alz.org/go-to/DULC or simply visit dallasulc.com and click on the Alzheimer's button.
That's all right. 8 years we've done that. This is our 9th year doing the Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's a good cause. I mean,
oh, yeah.
It is. Alzheimer's sucks.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, you're right.
For everybody involved. I'm not way around. Yeah. It's just horrible.
Oh, yeah,
so,
right.
We have a lot of, as you can see in the videos, we have a lot of fun. We do. We enjoy being together. It's a fun weekend. We work our little butts off, too. We have fun. We volunteer our time. We get out there and we have a good time. And I think it's one of our best fellowship times of the year that we have. I really do. I think we really enjoy each other. And, you know, getting there early, 4:30 in the morning sometimes, and being with each other all day. It's trying times.
I like that word.
It's trying times. Yeah. But in the end, it's worth it. I really think it makes us stronger as a congregation, stronger friends.
What's up?
What happened now?
Okay. So, let's talk about this. The Walk to End Alzheimer's is only 55 days.
55
days. Okay. I'm just going to go real slow here for some reason. November 4th, 2023. Okay.
It's not
going to
go slow.
So, it's coming up.
Oh, I can come up the days.
Here it is. Now, there's how you get to if you haven't signed up yet, please sign up. We can use your help. Or you can also donate there. Or if you have donors that you've found that want to use a credit card online, mm-hmm. This is where you send them to. Just go to DallasUC.com and click on the Walk to End Alzheimer's link there. You can do all of that right there. Our page is there describing why we walk, the whole story behind it, the how many years we've been doing it, the whole nine yards. It's all there at DallasUC.com. Click on Walk to End Alzheimer's. Very simple to get there that way, okay? Look, we need to raise some funds, though. This is what I've seen on everybody's number. You say. And if you're doing it, you've got some credit cards going in there that would make that go away. Facebook is a great place to ask people to donate. Believe it or not, that's the place I get the most donations from is Facebook. Okay?
Damn.
Put a message on there. It'll help you do that. It knows. If you're walking with Alzheimer's, it knows to put that on there. Put it on Facebook, okay? Get out there and get some people. Give them some money, guys. I mean, look, that's the whole idea. It's great that we're out there supporting the cause and making it more aware, but we need to raise money to save money, to save these people and get the proper medications out to them, okay? Please. 55 days is not really long. It's less than 2 months now, okay? Please get out there and make your pitch to people. Alzheimer's affects more people than you know. I guarantee almost everybody you know has been affected in some way or another by Alzheimer's. I know I'm very adamant about this, and I am. It touched my family very hard. And I'll always be adamant about it until it stops. Until it stops, I'm going to keep on fighting. So, y'all are fighting with me. Let's go. All right. Guess what?
What?
I think you made it.
Huh?
Well.
I did it.
Guess what? Come back.
Yeah, you made it. It is time for the dismissal. Everybody's really favorite part of the service. No, I'm just kidding.
We'll do it again.
Please flash for dismissal, folks.
Yes, we'll do it.
We'll be right back.
This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
What did you like? What did you not like? What did you keep wanting to get rid of? All right, today. Gavin, I know Gavin's just chomping at the bit over here to hear something. Now, we talked about what today? What was the thing? What was our big thing about talking today? What was it? Come on, let's talk about it. Tell me.
Yeah, come on, Gavin. I don't know. What to do with the
church? Gavin, answer your question.
What? Yes?
What did we talk about today? What was the subject we had today?
Well, basically, trouble in the family and everything like that.
Everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
Trouble in the family. What family?
The family of the church. They
church
say
family.
What to do when someone goes wayward.
You should let them go. They'll come back.
That's the dumbest
thing.
So,
what is that? Is that what you should do?
I hate that when they do that shit.
What did you say? I missed that part. Yeah, I guess.
You did say not to do that, actually.
Oh.
So,
yeah.
Kevin, I know you're chomping at the bit. Let's go.
All right. Thank you. That's one thing that I kind of stand about, like, a lot of the shit that some churches, like, away with you. Like, seriously.
Kevin, clean it up a little bit.
Sorry. That's not something you do in the church. That doesn't sound very loving. That doesn't sound great. That doesn't sound like you. So you isolate, basically. You isolate or segregate the person who is not agreeing with you, and it really does sound like Scientology. Like,
or exclude. Or completely.
Yes, exactly. It really does.
Christianity does not exclude. Christianity does not. Look, there comes a time in the church where you have somebody. Look, that's a last resort. Because at that point, you have to look at church, your whole church, versus one person. Look, God loves everybody. But God gives us all free will. And when you're ideas, your thoughts, your actions are contrary to the church you belong to, there's really no reason for you to be there. Does that make sense? Because if all these thousands of people that are at the church agree with one thing and you're not agreeing, and yet you're refusing to leave, you're saying, look, I gotta change you. Well, no, here's the deal. That's great. Go start your own church and change the people. If that's what you feel that strong about it, that's what I did.
Freaking.
That's what I did. I left the Catholic Church because, look, I love a lot of the Catholic Church. 90% of it I probably love. There's 10% I don't. I don't agree with. I don't think is accurate. I don't think is fair. And I don't think is our God. So that's what I did. I left. And I did this to tell people what I feel the true God is. We have to all love Him. Approachable. He's not some lofty thing up in the sky that we have to just always be afraid of. He loves us, period. That's what it's all about, is love. And if the church didn't learn that, love, we wouldn't have to be talking about all this stuff right now. What else you got? Does that make sense for you?
Yes.
Does that kind of put it into light? If you take one and it poisons the whole pot, what good is that? You've lost thousands because of one. Every life is precious. But everybody makes a decision on what they do with their own lives. They have that free will. And if they decide to, you're going to get kicked out. Because you guys weighed out at the options there, okay? That's all it is. Sometimes it comes down to that. It's very hard to have to do that at times, to have to choose between, you know, this person who could be your friend, it could be your spouse, it could be whatever, who you have to say, you know, goodbye. Go somewhere else, because we don't agree with you together. It's not going to work, okay?
That's after you ended up trying to...
You almost think sure. It's a last resort. The first thing is go talk to them, right? First
exactly.
thing, go talk to them by yourself. Get look this person in the eye, be a man, and talk to them. Say, look, I don't like what you're doing. You're not going down the right path. You're heading for someplace you don't need to go. Okay? You're heading someplace it's dangerous for you. Okay? Let me help you. Let me show you how to get out of this. Let me fix this. Let me help you fix this, right? If they ignore you, they don't want to do it, you bring in some people from the church. And that little bit of strength behind you, maybe they know a little more, maybe they can offer their advice as well. If that doesn't work, then what? You go to the church, the actual full church. You should go to the hierarchy of the church and say, look, come help me. And so they do. They come help you, right? And if he says no then, there's really not much more you can do.
Let them go.
And hopefully they'll come back. There is that, you know, if you let something go and it truly loves you,
it will
return. And that's true in everything, and even in this. They may be wrong, and they just don't see it. They're blinded because they're so stuck in all the stuff around them. They can't see that they're wrong. But when they step back and get out of what they are, or get their in, and they can kind of look at their lives and go, oh, what the hell was I doing?
Yeah.
Then they realize they'll come back. And you know what you do at that point? You welcome them with open arms. And it doesn't say to shun them. It doesn't say that. It says to distance yourself because you don't want to be poisoned by what they're offering because it's not agreeing with you. But they're also still your, they're still your brother. They're still a human being. They're still your brother. They're still your family. And you still have to love them in that way. You still have to love them. You have to love everybody. Right? Complicated. There's a lot going on there. There's a lot to think about. But if you think about the steps there, they're just natural steps. It's natural steps of, A, you go talk to him like a man. Mm. B, that didn't work, you bring some other people in to help talk about it. If that didn't work, you go to the hierarchy. If that didn't work, say, sorry, I can't help you.
Can't move.
It's pretty simple. You can make up for that when you think about it that way. That's what life is. That's the step you take. The first one always seems to be the hardest for everybody. That first step of going and sitting down with that person alone and talking to them like a man. Everybody wants to go and talk to so-and-so about so-and-so. Mm-hmm. Instead of going and talking to so-and-so about so-and-so. Mm-hmm. They want to gossip. They want to get it off their chest. I'm guilty of that 100 times full. I do it. I don't mean to. Mm-hmm. But at times I feel like I have to get on with it. Stress just builds up. Like I said, I'll talk to Will or I'll talk to somebody. I said, look, am I crazy about this? Tell me, give me some advice here. What am I doing? And I shouldn't be. What I should do is go into that person and say, look, mm-hmm. let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. Man to man, eye to eye, face to face. And if we disagree, that's fine. We'll go to the next step.
Yeah, you're right.
Makes sense?
Makes sense.
Yeah. Save a lot of bullshit.
You're not helping.
It does. Because you know what, when we gossip and we go behind each other's backs and we just get it off our chest, we're not all you're doing is causing gossip. You're causing people to take sides at that point. And what does that do? When you start taking sides, you're dividing like this, what does it do?
No.
A house divided will never ever stand. That's why I say about the United States right now.
Hmm.
A house divided will never stand. They keep dividing us like they're doing, poor versus rich, Republican versus Democrat. They keep pushing us like this to serve further and further at each end of their poll here. We're in trouble. Something's got to change in this country.
Right.
There needs to be a revolution. There needs to be a hero. I'm going to tell you that. That's what it needs. Anybody out there is a hero?
Mm-hmm.
Step up. Seriously.
Right.
I love this country. Tomorrow's 9/11. Tomorrow's 9/11. I know you all remember that day.
Yeah.
I remember exactly where I was, exactly at the time I was watching that happen.
I was at the bar.
I was kind of at the bar. I was at Texoma. I was at the country club up there. Yeah. I actually lived in the country club. I was a bartender there.
Oh, man, that's the hell of a job.
I lived in the country club. I woke up, I thought HBO was still on TV. Yeah. So I started watching it on HBO. I was like, in the world, I looked. It was an HBO. That was real.
Yeah.
Well, you
were
you
at? I was two.
He was two. Will was on two when that
happened.
2 years
old.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wasn't that long? Yeah, so 2001.
Oh, I was in Atlanta.
I remember exactly, don't you? I remember, you were the fear?
My music had woke me up. I'm like,
the fear was amazing. I mean, I called my mother, and they were shutting down shop. They were sitting right home.
We didn't watch it outside the
Everybody room. Scared to death.
God.
There were the rumors.
Yeah.
They're going to blow up the dam up here. Eisenhower Dam up at the Texoma. They're going to hit the big building, the green building downtown Dallas. Yeah. All these rumors start flying. Well, that's it. Talking about rumors, there they are. How long was it called? Misinformation, right?
Yeah.
You get like out of that telephone, that cord in the middle, two cans.
They're
the wrong information. I guarantee you they're going to get the wrong information that year. Or you put a lot of people together to say one thing, and tell each person to say it. I guarantee it's not the same at the end.
Oh, yeah.
That's what happens in life when we gossip.
Yep. Okay. You ain't lying, though. You think about that, yep.
Tomorrow is something that they now call Patriot Day. Patriot Day. It's an interesting way to... very hard to otherwise name it, but... It is a national holiday, and we honor those who fought, those who died. Let me throw something at you here. Look, I asked that tomorrow is a day of somber. It's a somber day. It is. It's a day of remembrance, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
But I ask that you pray for the souls that were lost, those innocent people who died fighting, either the firemen, the policemen, and the people who were in the buildings, the people in the planes, but also pray for the souls and the families of the terrorists who were involved in this. We have to love them too. And they need it probably more than any of us. I know it's hard. I get it. Believe me, I get it.
You probably ain't the only one asking that question.
I get it. No, I do. I understand. I get it. But we as Christians, as people of God, we have to give that same love that God gives to us. And He doesn't care what we do.
He doesn't care.
He's going to love us. Yeah, He might punish us, but that's what parents do. But He's going to love us. If He didn't love us, He wouldn't punish us. He wouldn't care. He said, go screw up your life. Okay. Tomorrow, please keep... Think about things. Think about how life is precious tomorrow. It's Patriot Day, but your country's precious, but everybody, every single life in this country is precious, including your own. Remember that, and just kind of take that in, because you know what? Remember 9/11 reminded me that... There were people that, yeah, people on those planes that hit the World Trade Center. 1 second they were there, and the second they were vaporized. There was nothing left of them, nothing at all. They were just gone.
I tell you, that's kind of the nurse home.
I think that people that jumped from that first building, you could
see. That was rough.
I was like, oh my God.
It had to be so. There had to be absolutely no hope at all. None. Zero hope at all that they could get out of there. And B, it had to be. The heat had to be so horrific. The flames had to be so strong right there that you had to jump. Because I couldn't do it.
No, hell no.
I mean, there was one guy that called it, I don't remember what they called him, the jumping man or something. He was on Time Magazine. He was actually a waiter up at the restaurant upstairs. And he did a, what's it called?
A twist?
A jackhammer, but he hit head down, straight into the ground.
Hey, damn.
Head down. Went head down.
I just dove it.
Wow.
I cannot imagine the fear of the planes, the people on the planes, the people in the buildings.
Oh, yeah.
The stories are endless about the horror they cause. The stairwell people, lady coming down the elevator, and the firemen were just getting there, and they tried to help her. She was getting off the elevator, and her skin was falling off of her body. She was trying to talk, and her voice, her vocal cords had been burned. There was nothing they could do for her. They had to just simply walk by her and let her die, because there was so many other people trying to help. That story goes out over and over and over again.
Can you imagine?
It's hard to think about that. But again, it's important to remember, we're all dust.
Nothing.
We're all dust. Yes, you're right. They were wrong. Yeah, they were wrong. And it's not our place to judge them.
No,
that's the point. They got theirs. Trust me. They got off easy by dying that day. I guarantee that. God takes care of that. But just remember tomorrow, life is short. No matter if you live to 100, or you live to 20, or you live to 5. Life is short. Do something with it, Gavin. Alright. Anybody have anything else?
I haven't thought about that. That's a trip.
I'd rather watch you, girl. Have you think about something.
I'm
trying to get girl.
We're going to get in there. We're going to get both these guys there.
Here
we go. Pray our way out of here. Just pray for your back, too. Ride back as well. Father in heaven.
My grass.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
I'll take a pill of that.
Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to come together and praise you as we so rightfully should. So many people in this world do not have the opportunity that we have had here tonight just to simply come together and say, we love you and thank you. Lord, keep an eye over our country and our favorite friends and family tomorrow, especially as we celebrate and remember Patriot Day and remember the actions and the events of 9/11. Help us to understand that this life, this gift that you've given us, is so precious and so short, and how we just need to live every day as if it were our last. Please remind us of that. Remind us of how precious your life, the gift of life, is. Lord, we ask all of this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
All right,
let's go.
All right.
Okay, we didn't sign off.